The seeds of artistic identity often take root in childhood's fertile soil. For Patti Smith, a young girl's encounter with a magnificent swan became a moment of pure wonder, a transcendent experience that separated ordinary existence from the extraordinary. During childhood fevers, the boundaries between reality and fantasy blurred, allowing her mind to wander into realms of possibility that would later inform her artistic vision. Books weren't merely entertainment, but portals to other worlds. When her family visited an art museum, something profound shifted within her as she stood before masterful paintings, feeling art's transformative power. As adolescence arrived, Patti found solace in rock and roll, its rhythms and rebellious energy speaking to something primal within her. Teachers noticed her creative potential, encouraging her participation in local art contests. During monotonous factory work, she daydreamed about becoming an artist's muse. Meanwhile, young Robert Mapplethorpe developed his own relationship with beauty. His color choices defied convention, revealing an eye that saw the world differently. Though raised in a conservative environment, Robert harbored a quiet fascination with sacred spaces and spiritual imagery, elements that would later define his controversial work. What's remarkable about both Patti and Robert's childhoods is how they preserved their artistic inclinations despite environments that didn't necessarily nurture them. Their early years reveal that true artists often feel their calling long before they have the vocabulary to express it. An unplanned pregnancy and adoption during college became the catalyst for Patti's artistic journey. After being dismissed, she vowed to dedicate her life to art without regret. Rock and roll became her emotional anchor, and when faced with neighborhood rejection, she found refuge with an artistic family where cultural icons like John Lennon inspired her. The decision to leave for New York came naturally. On July 3rd, Patti boarded a bus with only essential clothes and books, aided by an unexpected windfall. Arriving in sweltering New York, she discovered a city alive with music and emerging subcultures. While focused on basic survival needs, she began forming meaningful connections, including a touching exchange of a Persian necklace with a stranger. Throughout this period, Patti balanced fierce determination with humility, recognizing that survival in New York required both persistence and adaptability. Patti and Robert Mapplethorpe's relationship began with his spontaneous theft of a William Blake monogram, their shared reaction of complicity rather than guilt setting the tone for their future together. Unemployed, they created a home where creativity flourished despite limited means. They lived on simple meals and deep artistic discussions, tacitly agreeing to support each other's creative explorations. Their first Christmas together revealed their essence, crafting gifts from discarded materials. Robert worked by candlelight, following the law of empathy that infused his presence into his early works, despite technical limitations. Though financial constraints forced choices between necessities and art supplies, their creative exchange and mutual inspiration proved far more valuable than material wealth. Robert Mapplethorpe's art became a battleground where religious figures met occult virtues. Catholic imagery provided his visual vocabulary, even as he rejected its dogma, creating work that merged the dark and divine. Though he rebelled against Catholic constraints, its iconography retained power over him. His art became a space where identity merged with faith and aesthetics, with Satan representing beautiful rebellion rather than evil. Patti witnessed this spiritual evolution with complexity. Their creative moments existed within an artistic development where belief systems served as artistic materials rather than absolute truths. Robert connected spiritual purity with raw artistic ambition, both requiring complete devotion. The cultural upheaval of 1968's June assassinations backdropped their personal transformations, affecting tensions in their creative partnership. Robert's internal struggles transformed the romantic haven into his experimental space, while Patti grew increasingly distant, seeking deeper connection. Their summer of awakening forced both to confront their true identities. Though physical distance grew between them, their creative bond persisted. Their journey shows how artistic development moves through connection and separation, certainty and doubt, tradition and rebellion, essential elements in finding authentic creative voices. The Chelsea Hotel, former home to legends like Dylan Thomas and Janis Joplin, became Robert and Patty's creative sanctuary. From elevator hums to radiator clanks, the building's sounds formed the soundtrack of their artistic life. Their Halloween relocation to a new room, though cramped, sparked fresh energy. Robert responded by crafting jewelry from simple materials like lobster claws and beads, hinting at greater artistic ambitions. Fellow residents like composer George Kleinsinger, with his exotic snakes and Tubby the Tuba Sheet music, added to the hotel's creative atmosphere. Their own room, with its natural light and half-black walls, reflected their artistic partnership. The Chelsea connected them to New York's art scene, particularly through Max's Kansas City and Warhol's Circle. It offered the perfect mix of stability and inspiration, providing security while nurturing creativity. The hotel became more than their residence. It was a witness to their artistic evolution, with their departure marking both an end and a beginning. A Keith Richards-inspired haircut and being labeled androgynous at Max's Kansas City opened Patti Smith's path to City Theater, while she deepened her focus on poetry and performance. Bobby Newworth's mentorship proved crucial, inspiring her to blend literary depth with rock energy, strengthening her creative partnership with Robert. At St. Mark's Church, Patty delivered a breakthrough performance merging beat poetry with her unique voice, accompanied by Lenny Kaye's guitar. Despite recognition from literary figures, she remained humble. DIY tattooing rituals of lightning bolts and moons strengthened bonds within her artistic circle. Acquiring her Gibson guitar, Beau, became another pivotal moment in her journey. Her collaboration with Sam Shepard on Cowboy Mouth, created in an intense burst, merged playful experimentation with raw truth through language and improvisation. These experiences shaped Patty's distinctive artistic identity, bridging poetry and rock, intellectual and visceral, feminine and masculine, defining both her art and essence. Photography became Robert Mapplethorpe's perfect medium, allowing him to craft narratives through light and shadow. His eye grew increasingly intuitive, using innovative framing and intimate sessions to capture his subject's essence with unflinching clarity. His collaboration with patron Sam Wagstaff provided crucial validation, while his S&M photography sought to document hidden realms of human experience through masterful composition. Patty and Robert's artistic paths converged in their first gallery collaboration, where photography met poetry. Their film, Still Moving, exemplified this shared vision, creating a visual chronicle of their friendship. This period marked the crystallization of their definitive mediums, Robert in photography and Patty in poetry-infused rock performance, showing how creative identities develop both in relation to others and independently.